I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last 3-4 years, Brian crossed the ocean 7 or 8 times, was it? Is it? How many times you crossed the ocean, Brian? I mean, yeah.
No.
Yeah, another total. That's a long trip, right? Back and forth to Europe, back and forth to Europe. But the Lord kept him, and I believe the Lord will keep him. That's what we believe. I don't know the will of God for everybody. The only thing I can say, if you're after a soul, I'm praying for you. Go and get it. That's my formula, and I hope that all of us will be praying for Brian, pray for the child, so the Lord will keep the child. That's what it takes. There's a subject that I'd like to get into. Probably, I don't know how long it's going to be, not today, but a series of study. But I believe that God has a reason for everything. The tapes that we have been studying some time ago, was Christ the mystery of God being revealed? And I believe this is one of the greatest revelations. And what I like to do, I like to give it a title and call it part one, and then continue part two and three and so on. That's the divine mystery of the mystery of the divine union. When I talk about the divine union, is man and God. This subject is really tearing me to pieces in some ways, in other ways glorious, because you can see everything right in it. God is the creator of everything. And we know that God, when He created the world, created man, sin came in, and all of us who have sinned, what really penetrates in my soul sometimes that I have not been able to have, should I say, the backbone to study in depth, is a man after God's own heart, when after his mistakes and everything, he looks to God in the book of Psalms, and he says, Jehovah, with other words, remember this, I was conceived in sin. With other words, what you see me, I started with nothing good. That's a powerful thing to tell God, isn't it? I was conceived in sin. But God has attributes in Him. And the attributes of God is what God is. God is a Savior. God is love. God's a healer. All these attributes are in God. And I can say I'm a king, but if I don't have a kingdom, really, I'm lying. And when I say God is a healer, He has to have the objects to heal. When you say God is a Savior, He has to have the objects to save. And all these have to fit together. And they move in different stages. And right in the beginning, we see that God start making preparations of how to get you and me back to Him. We have tried our ways. We have gone in our own ways. But no matter how far you're going to go, somewhere you're going to hit a dead end. And somewhere you're going to say this, that I'm at the end right now. And especially when you look, the human body is deteriorated every day. And I don't know how to measure, but the new generation has abused so much their bodies that you don't know what's going to happen to them when they're 45 and 50. You just don't know. The only thing you hope that everything will be all right. But we're in a time now that every sickness and every disease is increasing daily. And they try to trace it back and do this and do that. But no matter how much we're going to trace it, without God, we have problems. So now, when we start seeing things here, what God has done, the attributes of God has to be manifested. God has to manifest who He is. And I will try to generally outline this morning 3 stages of that union. 3 stages of the union. The first one, we found it in the book of Exodus, the 25th chapter, Exodus 25 and the 8th verse. Exodus 25, 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Wouldn't it be beautiful if you knew that Jesus was right here this morning? We know that He is spiritually, but physically sometimes it's good to be able to see Him, to say He is here. But we shouldn't question that because God is here spiritually. Wouldn't it be beautiful to go to know that He has the power to do everything? He created the whole world. And you see Jesus walking probably at the aisles of the church, and probably He ministered to us, and at the end of the service you go to Him and you say, Jesus, I'm sick, would you help me? And for Him to touch you and to be healed. It would be beautiful to see visually the presence of Jehovah. We cannot conceive what God is because our spiritual eyes are so limited. We are under this flesh and we're so carnal that we cannot open our eyes to see any farther. Nothing at all. But God now, He says, I want to come down after the human race has been fallen and all of us was born in sin, shaped in iniquities. We were sinners to begin with, and God says now, I want to have some people that are going to come down and dwell. And His probably major first dwelling place is the tabernacle. When you see the tabernacle, God said in the scripture, He says, let them make me a sanctuary. A sanctuary? What is a sanctuary, Brother David? Sanctuary comes from the word aiasma. Aios is holy. Aiasma is where the people can come and become holy. It takes certain processes, takes the blood, takes surrender, takes acknowledgement of the Jehovah. And everything takes place for one thing, to make somebody holy before the Lord. Because remember, you say, I believe in the blood, I do too. That's the means to get you holy. But all these things cooperating for one thing, to be holy, and that means to be without sin. And if a man is without sin, he's in the presence of God. That's it. You say, what is the definition of a Christian? A person that his sins have been forgiven. What this means, he's ready to meet the Lord. Now God says, make me a sanctuary, an aiasterion, with other words. And what I want to do, aiasma is a place to be sanctified. Or you say, were the people sanctified there? Yes, they took the sacrifices. Like in other services, we're going to see, they take the blood of the animal, and the animal, and they kill it, they take the blood, and the priest pray, was there, and the sinner put his hand upon the head of the lamb, and the sins were covered. So this sanctified state is to be holy, the people can be made clean, a place of sanctification. This is the first stage. And God says, I want to dwell among you. I want to tell them I'm here. And it was a tent. Now remember this word, because you're going to see some things this morning. A tent comes from the word skini. Skino means I put the tent up. And God said here, make me a sanctuary. You find out in many scriptures there, they call it a tent in the Old Testament. Because why? Israel was moving. They take the posts out, the tent, they fold it together, they separate each part. The Levite, the tribe of the Levite, that was their responsibility. They take the tent, set it somewhere else where God stopped them, and they go on from there. So in that tent, it was a place that God dwells and follows with the people of Israel. That was His house that day. And the purpose of His house was for Jehovah to be with them. He appeared to them with a pillar of fire. He appeared to them with a cloud. He appeared to them in many ways. But that's the place where God now put his hand upon and he says, that is my place. It's not for me a place just to sleep because I'm God and I don't have to sleep. It's not a place for me to lay down to take some rest. No, because I'm God, I don't have to take any rest. But it's a place where I can be there to be with you. And when I look at you, that means all of us. No exception between, no difference between pastor and people, nothing. When I look at you, you're bad. You have sinned. Because of the time of Adam, you fail. Now I like to reclaim you back to God. Because I am the Lord. And I want to get you back to myself. And that's the place, it's holy because that's my dwelling place and God is holy. And that's the place where you can get sanctified. There's things, there's stages to the tabernacle. We're going to see parts of them. And then in these parts, I want you to be sure that everything will be all right as long as I'm there. And if you fail again because you're still under sin, you go out and lie or steal something, I want you to know you come back and I'm love. I'm God. I want to be with you. I want to correct you. Isn't it beautiful to know that, huh? You know, sometimes you're afraid to go to God. To say, Lord, I'm a liar. You know, he knows it already. You don't tell him anything new. The only thing you tell him is what he's already know. And the only thing you accomplish is to know that he's going to help you. That's the only thing you try to accomplish. So our ego is so great that we're afraid to say, I'm a sinner. I need God. You know? All the heavens are rejoicing when they see a sinner coming to God. Why? It's a restoration. It's a union between God and man together. It's a glorious thing. So God says, now, make me that tent, that sanctuary, that place to become holy. Because you have to fold it, and I'm going to give you the specs and the materials. What you're going to use has to be exactly like that. Because everything that you do down there, Israel, is a type up in heaven. It's tied to Christ. Now, they took that skinny, I'll be using the term skinny, that for the tent, to get used with the word for a few minutes. They took that tent, and that is a place where God dwells, and he says, right in there, he says, I dwell among them. And the verb here is sophisome, who means to be behold, or to be there, to know that I'm there. You know, years, I know the Lord has saved my soul, and I was looking up and I see God. And then I kneel down and I said, probably I can talk louder. Probably I can do this. We go, all of us, through these stages. But you know, wherever you are, then you realize what you look up when you're saved, it's not up there, it's in you. Right in you. We look so far off, you know, so narrow sighted that you cannot see that's right with you. He says, I'll be in you. So God now makes that tent there. And also, if you go with me to the book of the same book of Exodus, we went to 25:8. Now, if you go with me also to Exodus, I'll find it in a minute. We can see that God also ordered this kind of a union. Let's say 29, 45, and 46. Exodus 29, 45, and 46. Listen. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. God wants that place to dwell. You know, he wants to be right with you. You know, we sit and think, if God knew who I am, if he's right next to me, he'll strike me dead in a minute. But if you knew the love of God, you wouldn't say that. Now, you have mercy. On the other side is judgment. So we should never have any fear to go to the Lord and say, Lord, Please forgive my sins, my iniquities. I want to be what you want me to be. You know, you said nothing new to God. The only thing you confess it to Him, that you need Him. That's all you do. You know, you say, Lord, I'll say this and probably tomorrow something else. No, just tell Him you're a sinner. That's it. You can never make a list to cover all your sins. Remember that. So get that list out of the way. No grocery list works. So now God, we see, and He says, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. He says, I want you to know that when you came out of Egypt, who did it? You know, God is doing things for us, and we don't know He's doing it. How many times God kept you and me? And His mercy was right there. He kept you. Oh, thank you, Lord. He said, I want to know who you think. I want you to know who I am. What am I doing? I want you to make sure that I'm the one that's doing it and you're not doing it. Oh, you say, if I haven't done this, then it would be disaster. But who helped you to do this? Stop and think about it. Everything God is doing for you and me, and now God says, I want you to know, with other words, who got you out of Egypt, Israel? And have you ever stopped to think, I want you to know who got you out of denominations? Who did it? I want you to know. Oh, brother, some people say, when I came out of the system of denominations, you came out. Let me tell you, God pulled you to come out. You don't even have enough sense to get out of the rain. That's what you are and what I am. So God now is pulling them out. And now we see that Israel, we read that that place, we call it a tabernacle, it's a dwelling place. And I will dwell among them. You know, I like that word, dwell. You know what? It's not visiting. Through the book of Exodus, the word dwell means. You know, you have a home, you have a key, you open the door, you go in, somebody says, who are you? He says, I'm dwelling here. That's my house. You got a guest coming here, he's visiting, he's not dwelling there. You know, my sister used to tell me, David, always remember, relatives like a fish. After 3 days, they stink. Get them out. No matter how much you love them, that's what happens. Especially, you know, if the person, you have nothing to say about the Lord. You know, you exhaust everything. How is daddy? How is mother? How is cousin? That's it. Then you're alone. You say, what am I doing? I'm closer with people with the Lord than I'm with my own relatives. So now God in that dwelling place, He calls it, and I will dwell among them, the children of Israel. And I will be their God, they shall know me that I am the Lord. I'll give you now 5-6 verses there that you write them down when you go home. Will help you to study about that subject. The first one, it was in Exodus 25:8 that I mentioned. The second one, Exodus 29:45-46. Leviticus 26:12, Zechariah 2:10, 1 Corinthians 6:16, and Revelation 21:3. Now God has a dwelling place. Now this dwelling place, that habitation, that you see that God wants to dwell. You say, God wants to dwell there? Yes. But we haven't seen Him. But He's a spirit. He tells you, here I am. Here's the pillar of fire. I will lead you. I'll give you manna. You remember? Here's the food from heaven. They eat. Then never, can you imagine all these hundreds of thousands of people traveling? Their shoes never wore out. Can you imagine none of them got sick? I tell you one thing, if we ask how many have been sick the last year or two, even with a cold or something, all of us will raise our hands up. But in that journey, none of them got sick. Why? God was there protecting them, keeping them all the time. So God now, we see afterwards that this tent was a type of the temple in Jerusalem. Of course, I'm not getting the temple this morning. You find that in Ezekiel 41:1. What's the tabernacle became the temple later on. But that habitation or the tent, if you want to study about that word, skini, that tent, that, with other words, is a dwelling. I dwell in the tent, but we're moving. It's not like a building. It's not like a trailer that you drag it. They fold it. They put it on the other side. God in the front of them. Led them by the pillar of fire. Then God says, stop. You can't go any farther. The pillar of fire doesn't move. That's where we're supposed to stay for a few days or whatever it is. Then all of a sudden, they put the tent up, the sacrifice and so on, going on to Jehovah. Now, when you see all these things, the scripture for that tent is Exodus 23:19, Deuteronomy 23:18, and Exodus 26:11. Now, the tabernacle was considered to be the meeting place between Jehovah and his people. There's a meeting place. Have you ever said to somebody, I'll meet you there at 4 o'clock. I'll meet you there at 5 o'clock. Then you say, I'll meet you at church. God said to his people, I'll meet you at the tabernacle. I'm omnipotent, I'm omniscient, I'm omnipresent. I know everything, but that's the place where you and I are going to meet together. Because there are certain things there that you and I will have to do, you know, in order for you to be able to talk to me. You don't go as a sinner and tell God, God, listen, I want to talk to you. No, you have to go by the blood. The sacrifice of the cross, you have to be saved. Because he won't hear you. That block is between you and Jehovah. So God now provides these things and tells you now, especially the 42nd verse on Exodus 29. You read this, Exodus 29:42, he says, and shall be continual burnt offering throughout your generations, he said, the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of the Lord. He says, where I will meet you to speak there with thee. God has a meeting place. Let's say we are primitive. There's no phones, no communication. And God says, if you want to talk to me, you come there and I'll talk to you. It's so simple, isn't it? People think sometimes when we see the whole thing through the studies, when you see, you say, now, where is God? I mean, probably somebody comes and kisses a picture. The other person does that. You know, God is a spirit. And he hears you, knows every step that you take. And the amazing thing to me, to know everything and still love the sinner. And Paul says, when you were yet sinners, I loved you. A man said to me one time, he says, Brother David, when I become a good man, then I'll come to church. So that's not the time to come to church, because you never become a good man. You need the Lord to become a good man. What's the matter with you? That's upside down. You need the Lord to become a good man. He's going to make you. You cannot make yourself. You try all your life. You beat yourself to death. You go nowhere. So now we see that God is speaking, and he says, and there will be, of the 43rd verse, and there I will meet thee with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be the sanctuary of my glory. In other words, you shall see there what I'm going to do. And you know what? God comes with all his attributes now and say, here I am. My time is running. Here I am. I'll condense it so you get the idea, and then we'll go to the study and go very detail. Let me move from here and go now to see what God has done. There's a scripture that some religious groups, they don't like it. But if it's in the Bible, we believe it, correct? No matter whatever it is, we believe it. And I remember, I just buried my brother-in-law. He died. I was in Dallas. And I can never forget that Catholic flight attendant that was there, was part of the family. 24 years with American Airlines. She and her husband were there. They were Catholic by faith. And I went to the book of Romans. It says, Eddie is going to rise up not because of church membership, not because of nothing, but I'll give you the scripture for that. And when I gave the scripture, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body, will raise you also. She broke down and started crying. Why? Because there's no purgatory that saves you after death. You're finished. It's your relation, the Spirit of God in you. If that dwells in you, it will raise your mortal body. She broke down crying, and then I found out she got a grandmother that was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost in 1953 at Brother Branham's meetings in Minnesota. You look at the relation now, way back there, traveling all the way through. So now, there's some scripture, like I said, that some groups says, don't say that. And one of it is the first chapter of John. Now, I want to point you something. We're reading the first verse, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you talk to the Jehovah Witness people, they say, oh, there was a God. I said, where did you find that? They cannot tell you. They just put it there because they don't believe that Christ was God. But the Bible says it was God. Now, I'd like to take you a little farther and look with me. And let's watch that skinny. You remember that skinny, that tent? Skinevo means I am dwelling in a tent. If you go to the south part of town, you found a homeless person, and he doesn't have anything out in the street, he says, I have no place to stay. If you have gone to the park and somebody pitches a little tent, stays there, he'll tell you, skinevo, from the word skinny. That was, I'm under a tent. I have a place that I can put my head or sleep to be protected. Or that's what my dwelling place is. And look now in John for a minute. The first chapter, the 14th verse, and the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Watch that very close now, what we're doing. I'm translating directly. And the Word was made flesh and skinevo among us. What is he saying? The God, Jehovah, make a body. And in that body, he make his dwelling place. He's going to do something with it. We're moving fast, but I know that, but we've got to cover some materials and then come back. So Christ says, not to dwell among you like we see here, you know, to dwell among us, but to skinevo. The same word of the tabernacle that Jehovah was dwelling, it's the same word in John 1:14. Let's see the tent that he made. He made a body of flesh, right? Was she born of a virgin? Absolutely. Was she without sin? Absolutely. Why? Because Jehovah has to dwell in that body, skinevo. That's the tent he's going to dwell. So now he comes closer to the creation. His attribute was to be a redeemer. His attribute was to save you. His attribute was to save me. All these have come together now and unite you and Jehovah together. I love that. You know, probably unless you had the revelation to know what he is. You walk down Jerusalem and walk and look at him and you don't pay attention. It was hiding in that flesh. But that flesh was pure. And in him, he says, he came down, listen to what he says, and the Word was made flesh. With other words, his Word that created the universe, you can see it in that flesh. And what was in that flesh? There was a place that he dwells. What do you mean dwells? Skinevo, who means a tabernacle. I am dwelling in that flesh. So when you see Jesus walking with Jehovah, the Word of God, in a flesh form, that's what you see. What he's going to do? He's coming closer to creation. We touch him. We beheld him. The only begotten Son. Through the book of Hebrews. Through the Gospel of John. Through everything. He speaks about he became flesh and dwelt among us. What he's going to do? He's going to become like you and I, so he can bring us to himself. Your flesh and my flesh are corrupted. But his is pure. So through the body of that flesh, I hate to be repetitious, we're going to see in another study, he redeemed you, according to the book of Colossians, and restored you back to himself through that body. So now a Christian stands, a person says, I pray so the Lord will help me, save me. You know, he hears your prayer. But he waits to see what you're going to do. Are you really going to surrender and mean business? But I fail, I cannot do it. God bless you. You know why? Because you have to realize he has to do it. You cannot do it. So we look now, and he says, this word became flesh and tabernacle among you. In that flesh, that sphere of flesh, inside you see God. Why was the pillar of fire? Everything was created through him. Everything was in him. Everything that you see was dwelling in that body and was moving across. And the people, it was so simple, they couldn't receive it. Because people, they think the bigger you become, the better you are. I was reading an article at the Bayer Index at the university. And speaks about a man that issues doctor's degrees for $32. $32 or $35. I have a copy of it. Not the degree, but where it tells you that you receive it. And that man cannot read or write, but he issues doctor's degrees. There's no law to stop him. And I think it was 35 ministers have received their doctor's degrees with $35. When you hear a doctor such and such, they want to prove themselves that they are something. They want to impress man. They want to be recognized by man. But Jesus never done that. In such a simplicity, he make a body, dwells, and start walking. He didn't have to show to nobody his credentials. He walked in the temple when he was 12 and astonished them. And he never had anything to show, but he was God, and he was so humble that he can pick up the least of the least of the least to bring him to himself. What about if Jesus was born? He said, I'm a Jew, and I came for the Jews. All of us were lost. What about if he says, I'm an Italian? Then all the rest of them are lost. But he wasn't a Jew or Gentile. He was the mighty God, born of a virgin. The seed was the Holy Ghost came down. So you and I, regardless of your education, regardless of your health, regardless of your poor or rich, whatever you are, I don't care how low you are the same entitlement to the salvation of the cross like everybody else. How would you buy salvation if you don't have any money, he told me. You might try to buy it from the priest, but that's not true. God says, come unto me, all the other laden. And he never charged anybody for anything. Do you know that? God never charged anybody for anything. It's free. He says, he didn't say, I'll heal you if you pay this money. He didn't say, I'll do this for you. That's the businessman that they adopted. Give to God $100, he'll give you $200. I don't believe in this kind of stuff. You don't go in partners with God for the kingdom of Satan. I don't believe in this stuff. So now the second stage, we see a tent. If you are pleased to read that word, skinevo, I'm in a tent. I'm dwelling among you. I want to do something about it. I want to provide salvation. I want to provide divine healing. I want to provide all my attributes to the people that can see what I'm going to do to redeem them at the cross. All things happen around him, you know. He had one objective. You know what it was? Redemption. How he can save you and me. All the speed at him they did this, he was marching, going on, straight to the cross. Isaiah says, he make me like a perfect arrow. You take a perfect arrow, and you have the one that sends the arrow perfect, never misses the mark. They have the Ark of the Covenant in the holiest of all. I was reading, I think I passed this article a couple, 3 years ago. Time magazine had an article about, is it time to build the temple? And I was talking to a Jew in town, a businessman. I said, listen, what are they going to do with the temple? Is it the temple? I said, what are they going to do with it? I said, if the presence of Jehovah is not in the inside of the Ark of the Covenant, forget it. He says, they're going to find the covenant. Where is it? I said, it's right in me. Right in you. What are you looking for? Sending all over to Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, trying to get purebred animals to bring them down for sacrifice and all these things, the writings on Time magazine. What is it? Where do you find God in you? You know, it's so real to know him leading the people of Israel through the wilderness. To know him coming down in flesh and skinevo, the same word. And now, this is the tabernacle that's man that he dwells in. And he says, now listen to you. He says, if that same spirit that raised me from the dead dwells in you, where is your mortal body? You see, am I in the bride? That's the only way to be in the bride, the Spirit of Christ to dwell in you. I put my name on the book and I did this, I did that. That's nonsense. It's the Spirit of the resurrected Christ in the individual. That's it. You don't have to make a show. Probably you get beat up in order to go closer to the Lord. And the more you get beat up, the more you realize how much you have offended him, and the closer you get to God, because you have a revelation of his grace, who he is. What do we think we are? It's a beautiful study, the dwelling place, the union of the bride of Christ, isn't it? And then, when you start looking there, and you find out, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I believe that's where Brother Branham took that scripture, I'll be with you and even in you to the end of the world. That's the statement that he took it from. I'll be with you. How, Brother David? We pray. We commit Brian to the Lord's hands. Brian is going to go to Eastern Bloc of Europe. He goes. I'll be with you. And I'll be also in you. I'll be watching. Telling you, watch this. Pray. You haven't prayed enough. Do this. Don't do that. You know, that's how the Lord works. It says how I'm thankful about it. We are so self-centered that we cannot even see the glory of God sometimes. Churches are falling apart. Systems are falling apart because they don't have the revelation in the difference that Christ dwells in you. People say, I'm in the message, I got a quote. I don't care how many quotes you got. If that resurrected Spirit of Christ doesn't dwell in you, you need to be born again, filled with the Spirit of God. I don't care who you are. But what happened? We make religion out of the Word. We make religion out of the last day's message. Corruption right and left in every place. Why? There's no conviction in us to straighten us up. It's good to know the Lord, isn't it? You know, I'm just thrilled to know these stages. When I start reading my Bible in the Greek about John 1:14, I said, oh, no. How many years I read that? And I was blind. the skin is in the same thing like the tabernacle. And here it is, tracing the relation of Jehovah to his people throughout. And I'm blind so many years, read it, and don't even have enough sense. But unless God shows you, you cannot see it. I'm telling you that much. I don't care, you stand in your head and study day and night. If God doesn't open it to you, you cannot see anything. You go over it, that's it. When I saw it, I says, this tabernacle that I'm going to get in Colossians, someday pretty soon, to find out who is in you. Who is in you? Who is in that body of his flesh? I can't close before I read that scripture. Then I read it, then close. Colossians 1, it came to my mind, 1:22. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable, unreproachable in his sight. How did you get saved? Oh, brother, thank you for the message. If that message doesn't lead you to Calvary and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're just a parrot speaking and repeating what you heard. That's all you are. Isn't it beautiful to know in the body of his flesh? Brother David, is that all? I promise you one more. I'm sorry that I go to the same chapter, one or two verses more. 26. Even the mystery which have been hid from the ages, and when we study that, we'll go to Romans 16, and from generations, and now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where would you find Jesus? In a tomb in Jerusalem? I beg your pardon. You have to do lots of convincing to tell me that was the tomb where Jesus lied. Because Jesus was poor. He had no money. Judas had the money, not Jesus. And when they have the most decorated tomb that they can find, then they argue about it. The Protestant says, this is the tomb. The Catholic says, no, this is not the tomb. We got the tomb. You know what? It's my answer. I don't care who got the tomb. I got Jesus in me, the hope of glory. That's all I can tell you. Leave me alone after that. It's a beautiful gospel, isn't it? A beautiful word of God. To know that he make a flesh, the word became flesh, and skinosin among us. We'll continue this subject. I love this subject because it tells, puts our position in Christ. Put our position. And I know that the Lord's willing, the Lord will just open one step at a time and go on. But I'm working now on the Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And I know that when we finish with that, the mystery of the divine union, tape number one, we just finished. Will continue. You'll be able to go through to see Jehovah working himself, his attributes to the people all the way to the rapture. He'll take them, friends, not because what they are, but because what's in them. What is in them provides redemption for them. You say there will be many, many people with many mistakes. You know, we have all sinned. I was playing the tape this week. I was driving. Play the tape beyond the curtain of time. And Brother Branham said, when I saw all these thousands of people, his precious brother, he says, I'm glad, he says, you came over. There was a woman, he says, you led me to the Lord. I was 91 years old or something. There wasn't one and two. There were thousands. And I look at these thousands, not to justify anything, but there were many mistakes there. But we don't know the measure of the love of God. That's why we like to knock everybody else out except ourselves. Let's keep on pressing on. the battle to the other side. Let's sing the song Amazing Grace, that chorus. Let's stand. Amazing Grace, amen. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, yes I was, but now I'm found. Those blood, but now I see. Father God, us who come to the close of the service, if we knew, Lord, what it means that you dwell in each one of us, we'll be different people. We'll be acting like sons of the King. Lord, raise us above our miserable ways, our stagnant ways, Lord, that drag us down, and we look for God somewhere in the ceiling or the skies instead of looking for God in us. Lord, let your Holy Spirit, Lord, deal with us. Convict us from sin and give us repentance, save the lost. Lord, we pray and we ask you to help us, Lord. What good it would do, Lord, to know the truth without the power to fulfill it. Give us that power of the Holy Ghost. You promised it. And we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Give the Holy Ghost to any person here that doesn't have it. Lord, we pray, Lord, that power we need it, Lord. The people have perverted, twist things around, but Lord, we need the power of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ in us. Lord, help us this day. Thank you for each one here, Lord. Bless each one of the people, Lord. We love them, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Guide us and lead us, Lord. Amen. May be dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.